Hello, and welcome to the Worcester Church of the Nazarene podcast. This is the second part of our series entitled Songs of Faith. Today we take a look at the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What can we learn from this song written in the 1800s? Stay tuned as we hear from Pastor Nathan.
I don't know if anybody remembers what I talked to you about last week, but I do. The song was Amazing Grace. And we talked about this a lot. God's amazing grace was given for bless your heart people like us who couldn't save themselves, couldn't fix themselves, who were a hot mess at times. That's exactly who he is. And we found, remember, amazing grace isn't a what, it's a who. Amazing grace is Jesus, and he's the bridge between God and man. Are you glad about that? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved me. I once was lost, but now am found. And there's a whole lot of people in this room and online that have been found by amazing grace, Jesus, and your life will never be the same again. So, three more messages in this little series. Today, I want to talk about another one. Again, some are hymns, some are gospel songs, but today that I'll have Nate and Sarah sing in a little bit is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What a friend, what a friend. I know, and I'm sure you do as well, that the present reality that many within the sound of my voice are going through some significantly tough, excruciatingly painful times that they could have never scripted, never imagined. Some are carrying heavy, heavy burdens, so heartfelt and heavy for yourself, for your family, for someone who's close to you. And I pray that this is a message of hope for you and yours that'll be heart stirring, it'll be head lifting. And so we'll sing some of these verses in just a little bit and maybe at the end. But I'm reminded of the first verse that says, what a privilege it is to carry some things to God in prayer. No, that's not what it says, is it? The old song says, what a privilege to carry everything, which means anything, all things to God in prayer. And I would emphasize that at the beginning and say that it definitely is a privilege to bear one another's burdens. Did you know that? Isn't it a privilege to share the load? When we don't have the words, we don't have the explanations. But that's what the body of Christ is all about. Not just in a moment of grief, but as time moves forward, that we bear one another's burdens. That's how the world's going to know that we're followers of Jesus. That's one of the primary ways, the most powerful forms of our witness. And I just want to remind you that one of the most lovingly kind things you can do for someone is to take them to the Lord in prayer. You're frustrated, can't do a thing, can't change a situation. Take them to the Lord in prayer. Hey, look at me. You know that rebellious child or grand? They can't stop you from taking them to the Lord in prayer, can they? And if they won't let you pray with them, go in the room when they're sleeping and go cognito and pray over them that way. What a privilege it is to carry. My hope and prayer today is that you'll develop a sincere love and passion for the presence of God and the privilege we have of communicating with Him about everything. I listed some things, and I'll call it prayer blunders. I think that many people who claim to follow Christ don't really, they're not really convinced or don't understand the value or the power of prayer. And I hear things like, well, prayer doesn't work for me. It may work for you, but not for me. Or it's just a duty. It's not a delight. It's a chore. It's just way too hard. And so with those blunders in mind and heart, sometimes we tend to let other people do our praying for us. And nobody can do our praying for us, can they? Maybe many have never experienced or don't understand what prayer really is and what it can accomplish. And so therefore, many just don't do it. I've said oft times when Dixie and I are dealing with couples that are in a struggle place in their marriage or their family, we say often that one of the absolute best but most neglected things we can do for our spouse is to pray for them and to pray with them. Do you think that's an accident, that that's one of the hardest things to do, one of the simplest things to do? No, Satan doesn't want you praying together. That ought to give you some resolve right there. Like, he's not going to tell us what to do. We can do that. I want to tell you, that is a game changer right there. Praying for them, not at them. You know, like, Lord, I hope they're listening today because, you know, they've been really a mess and they need to do this. No, no, praying for them. So let me just enlarge a couple of these blunders. First of all, that prayer is complex, and many have grown up believing that, can you relate if you've grown up in churches anywhere? There are designated prayers. You know what I mean? I mean, we're intimidated by it. I mean, there are prayer pros around. I mean, they just sound like prayer pros. They have it down to a science. They know the proper tone and emphasis and the words, and they know how to use the King's English, and this can become so intimidating. Right? Some of you grew up with that. Yeah. And then there's other extremes, and I crack up when I think of some of the movies or TV shows where they get their prayers mixed up. You can think of them something when they say, like, you're Jehovah Nissan. Well, that's a little off. Your word is so good, oh Lord, it melts in my mouth. You're good to the last drop, Lord. You're like a good neighbor, always there. So we have all the successful prayer plans. I mean, you just got to do one. I mean, we formalize prayer many times. You know, the 1 hour, the Lord's Prayer, whatever it is you use, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you need to be in a certain posture, a certain place, pray early and pray long, and it's a triple exclamation point, triple star, if you pray in your closet. Especially if you have all the stickers on the wall and little post-it notes. The second thing is that prayer can be so dull. One of the words, the swear words that we never allowed in our home was a B word. You know what that is? I'm bored. We never allowed our kids to say it, and we really challenge our grandkids if we hear it. It was an unacceptable attitude that really a lot of times reflects what's going on in the heart. But I thought about it, and I thought about about prayer being dull. I guess disciples started this trend, wouldn't you agree, in reading through the Easter story and the preparation to it. You remember when Jesus was there, I mean, praying his heart out with deep whatever, all the emotions that he had. What did they do? He was praying his heart out. What'd they do? They fell asleep. Does that sound like some of us? We're in good company, aren't we? The disciples that Jesus used to turn the world right side up. I remember I used to fall asleep, or at least I really wanted to, during our family devotions growing up, and I called them forever prayers. Oh my. I mean, they prayed for everybody we knew, we didn't know. I mean, it was unbelievable. I thought they would never end. I guess that makes me not very spiritual. I could hear the neighborhood kids' voices on a wonderful, beautiful day like this, and I could hear balls bounces, and man, the call of the wild was pulling me away from that prayer time. I know none of you have been there. But so many, our prayer life is so dull because we pray basically, oh Lord, do this and do that. Give me this and give me that. And I'm actually wondering these days, honestly, if some people aren't saying, Alexa, please pray for me. Siri, could you please pray for me? You might try it, see what happens. Somebody's gonna step out right now and tell us and give us a report. Who knows, they might do it. Don't know who they pray to, but it might happen. Or how about this? Prayer's ineffective. I hear things like this. I repeatedly tell God what I want. It just doesn't happen for me, even if it does for you. My life continues to be so hard. I never thought it was possible. Where are you, Lord? Why don't you do something for me? You did it for them. Are you listening? Did I do something wrong? What's wrong with me? Don't you care about my world? You'll just do what you want anyway, so why pray? My prayers are just a waste of time. We must come to understand, and I challenge you today to believe and to have this bedrock foundation under your feet, that we're not praying to some distant, impersonal, uninvolved God. Embrace this truth. He's loving and kind and caring and personal, and he calls us his friends, as I just alluded in John 15:15. Jesus speaking, I now no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. We used to sing that song a long time ago. I am a friend of God. What a privilege it is. The creator of the universe wants to communicate with you and me. So what a privilege it is indeed to carry everything to God in prayer. Powerful prayer is, and we have constant access, immediate access to the throne of grace, and we are to come boldly, the Bible says. And you never use up your limit. There's no limit. You come repeatedly, and we're going to talk about that. A direct line, instant on. Wow. To God who created all that is. Wow. So I like to tell stories, as you know, which doesn't mean lies, but stories, true stories. I love to tell stories. And we looked up stories on each of these songs. So today I want to tell you about What a Friend We Have in Jesus, written by Joseph Sriben, who lived in Ireland in the 1800s. Any of you remember those days, those years? Well, he was madly in love with his childhood sweetheart. I mean, he was a total goner. And would you believe that on the day before they were married, they were rendezvousing by horseback at a place to meet each other, and her horse reared up and she was thrown. She hit her head on a rock and was knocked unconscious and rolled into the river face down. And when she didn't appear, he searched for her and he found her face down, dead in the water, the day before they were to be married. His life fell apart, and he felt like he just had to get away from it all and from the places and the memories, so he moved to Canada. While there, he had a life-changing encounter with Jesus, and he fell in love with him, and he devoted to live his life, to live out the teachings of Jesus, particularly in the Sermon on the Mount. He actually took a vow of poverty, and he did handyman work rather well, but he only did it for people who could not afford to pay him. The people in the area gave him the nickname, not blasphemer, remember John Newton, but the Good Samaritan. He was constantly helping those in need with no expectation of a return. Well, a wonderful lady noticed and admired his life and his service and love, passionate love for God, and ended up falling in love with him. And he took interest in her, Eliza by name, and ended up falling in love with her for the second time in his life. They became engaged to be married. Several weeks before that wedding took place, at age 23, Eliza contracted pneumonia and she suddenly died. Once again, he had tragically lost another love, and he never fell in love again. Years passed, and he continued his work and serving, but he received word that his mother, who was still in Ireland, was critically, critically ill, and he had no money to make that long trip to see her in Ireland, so he wrote her a poem instead. This poem began to be well known, but Joseph never took credit for it. Sometime later, a friend was visiting him in his home, came across these original notes scrawled out in Joseph's home, and he said, "Did you write this poem? Did you write these words?" he asked. And Joseph responded thoughtfully, "Well, the Lord and I wrote them together." What a song, born out of great tragedy and trust. This song of faith, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, has been known and loved and sung now for nearly 200 years. God is always working, even in the midst of some of the most dark and impossible situations. So Would you guys just sing a little bit, a couple verses or so, whatever you feel? And I love it. You know what? Lately, I'm proud of you. We've been filling this house with praise. Over the Easter week and the last couple weeks, we've heard your voices more than we ever have. So as we sing, would you do that? Would you not just have a song in your heart, but let it flow up through your vocal cords and out your mouth, and let's raise it. What a friend we have in Jesus. It's testimony time right now, okay? Let's testify.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is.
What a privilege to be.
Everything to God in prayer.
Everything to God in prayer.
This is right out of Scripture. Oh, what peace.
Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain.
One more verse, would you on that? One more verse.
Have we trials and tribulations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to
I just remember a last line of another verse that goes, I can remember that vividly being sung at a funeral when I was a little kid. The last one, in his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Thank you. My prayer is that when you hear that song sung, that you'll remember the story and know what a miracle it is. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. I listen to podcasts and read and all of that, and somebody I just heard this week, they were in some kind of a big conference setting where the speaker felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to have people turn, you know, like people were crammed together, didn't really know each other, and confess their sins to each other and to pray for one another. And they said God's presence was unbelievable what happened in that place. How many of you know that you can take the scripture to the bank? Yeah. As long as we do what it says. I love it. I want you to know today that prayer can defeat the devil. It can bring you into a relationship with Jesus Christ by saying and by praying a yes to Jesus prayer. It can calm your storms, heal the sick, save a marriage, comfort the hurting, restore the broken, push back the darkness. Invoke the power of prayer. Bring it to bear on your particular situation right now. Not once upon a time, but continually. We are praying to a close, intimate, loving, all-knowing, ever-present, all-powerful God who cares for his children and, as we read, calls them friends. So I want to spend the rest of the time, a few moments, talking about some real basic things of how to pray. And this isn't a formula like ACT, you know, ACTS, whatever. I'm not putting down any of those things. Those are helpful as long as they're coming from the heart. But springboarding from this idea that it's a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Let's get practical and let's get to it. I want to share four thoughts with you, the practice of praying. Number one, it's just so simple. Communicating is just talking to God as you would communicate with a close friend. There isn't any form, any posture necessarily. It's just being comfortable in his presence and knowing that he's interested in anything and everything, and you can talk with him about anything and everything. Did you know that? And he doesn't get tired because you've told him about it before. He wants to hear your heart. I've been talking about Paul, and he wanted to go preach in Rome. That was his dream. And instead, he had been detoured, and he found himself in prison again, and he was writing from Rome as a prisoner chained between Roman guards. He always got himself in messes. And in that mess, here's what he wrote. And I don't know what prison you're chained in today. It may be very deep and dark, but here's what he wrote in prison. Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. That's why worship music is so powerful, because it we have a lot of movements of that. When I say that phrase, I'm thinking of all kinds of songs of praise and thanksgiving. Don't worry, pray, tell God what you need, tell him your concern, and thank him for all he's done. A lot of times we forget about the last part, and we'll end up with that in a moment. Never stop talking. Do you know how relationships begin to distance and fall apart? When they stop talking or stop communicating. Agreed? First Thessalonians 5:16, we read these words, always be joyful. There must be a difference between joy and happiness, and joy must not be circumstantial. Agreed? Think about it. Always be joyful of the word. It wouldn't tell you should be if you couldn't be. There are choices maybe, but here's the next part, verse 12, 17. Never stop praying. When did we stop praying? Never. Never stop praying. There it is, 18. Be thankful in all circumstances. Fortunately or un, it means right now. Right now. Be thankful in all circumstances. Look to him, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. That's a mark of people who belong to him. They are full of thanksgiving in all the seasons of life that come at us. And yes, can you be joyful, joy-filled in sorrow? Yes. Can you be joy-filled when there are setbacks? Yes. Because circumstances and events aren't our, life events aren't our source. God is our source. So always be joyful. Never stop praying. And I want to be clear here. This passage is not talking about long prayers necessarily in formal ways. Jesus had things to say about those who loved to pray in public and were so recognized, he wasn't impressed. This is about a nonstop awareness of the presence of God, who is always with you, because if you know him, he's in you. He's with you, he's in you. He knows, he hears, he cares. It's an ongoing and present relationship, realizing, as the scriptures say, not only does he never leave you, he never forsakes you. And put that in your mental bank. No matter how you feel, I'm going with the word. How about you? He said he would never leave me or forsake me. I am not alone, even though I am lonely. Yeah. Yeah. We can hang on to that promise. I tell you, often and recently I have, it came to mind some months ago, but it's like, to me, it's like spending the day with Dixie, and maybe we're taking a drive or doing something, but whatever we're doing, we're just doing it together, and it's so comfortable, and it's like being by myself. I'm that comfortable with her, and that's one of the best compliments I can pay her. I can be myself. This prayer that we're talking about, it's a kind of prayer that includes short bursts of consistent communication, starting the day with God, throughout the day with God, end the day in the same way. I looked up Romans 10:10 in the King James Version, because that's what I remember a lot from growing up at the home. And it said, I love the phrase, and look it up, Romans 12:12 yourself. But the King James says something like this: continue instant in prayer. That's to be our prayer life. Continuing instant in prayer, right now, all the time, nonstop. I think that could be freeing for some. Forgive me for repeating stories, but I at Ashland Seminary, I'd never heard about the power of breath prayers. We were taught about that at Passage of Excellence, and that they're so personal and powerful, and to ask God to really give you one or some that you could use. And you know by now the one of mine that I pray multiple times a day, and I don't believe the Lord gets tired of hearing it, but I pray John 12:28, and I do it time and time again in so many different circumstances. When I think I know what to do, when I don't know what to do, I go, Father, bring glory to your name. And sometimes I'm praying it silently in my heart because I'm in some kind of situation and I need direction and guidance. How do you know that the Father loves to respond and he says, I want you to bring glory to my name. You have, you do. And we bring glory to his name by praying that prayer and by looking to him in the middle of any circumstance. I love it. That's been so helpful to me. This is an example of living in the constant pray now mode. I love it that God constantly provides pray now moments or pray now prompts, if you will. And I believe it's best to never go long periods without praying. I don't care how long you prayed at the beginning of the day. How long has it been since you prayed? Since you talked to the Father? Well, I had a meaningful conversation with my wife 10 years ago or 5 days ago or whatever. A relationship is only as good as it is, right? Not as it was. This may be more effective than praying for long periods of time. And there are times we do and we can and we should. The second thing, the first thing was what? I don't always make it clear. The first thing was talk to God. And the second thing is vent to God while you're at it. I've been reading in Psalms and various portions in the Bible, through the Bible things that I'm doing. And that's another thing I learned about and experienced in Passage of Excellence was to practice praying laments. And that's basically venting. That's telling God exactly what you feel. And I just read a bunch of Psalms this morning. I mean, David was just letting it fly. Some of us, I mean, we're feeling that way, but we don't think we're not comfortable enough to think that God knows and hears and understands. I mean, you can vent to him. You can say anything to him. He's okay with it. Nod your head if you're with me out there. Absolutely you can. He wants you to. Pour out your raw feelings before God. It was so fascinating as I moved through those years with other pastors, what came up and out during this spiritual exercise. And people tell me now, someone have told me in recent weeks that it was a life-changing experience to them. As we did exactly what 1 Peter 5:7 says in the NIV, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And I would emphasize the word all. And to do it often. Again, I think sometimes we think, well, I did it once, so I shouldn't repeat myself again. No, if you're feeling it, you need to get it up and out. We just saw the power of that in our group on Thursday night where there were some people having some difficult things and navigating different times. And I don't know what the rest of the time, but there was a release that happened when some things came up and out. Agreed? Yeah. So helpful. It sounds like venting to me, and that's what David did, as I mentioned in the Psalms time and again. God knows what you're thinking and feeling anyway, so you might as well own it. And I would say again that when we do, there's at least a period of relief. I guess, it's probably not proper to say, but I guess I'd call that vomit praying. Honestly, have you ever been really sick, and when you throw up, you feel better? Am I making this up? Are we allowed to talk about this on Sunday morning? Yeah. I mean, when you just get it up and out what you're feeling and you just, like, it's up and out, I want to tell you, there'll be a reprieve. Whether it's permanent or not, it will be a huge help. Yeah. We're talking about being real and honest before God. How many of you believe he can handle it? Go ahead. Express to him exactly how you're feeling. He can handle anything and everything you might think or say. Thirdly, let's not forget that conversation and dialogue is not one way, it's two way. So listen, practice listening to God. What does it say in the scripture? I didn't look it up. Be still and know that I am God. That, did anybody's parents and grands beside me used to say, be still? Was that me? Can somebody help me out? Was anybody else corrected? Oh, good. I feel so alone up here sometimes. You guys go, no, I never had that life experience. I must have talked more than a lot of people because I got that. Be still. That means not another word. There are times with God where we need to stop talking and do more listening. We're so busy praying for things that we don't get quiet enough to just sense God prompts, those pray now prompts, those gentle nudges or that gentle whisper. Jesus modeled, and I've talked about it, what a great listener he was, and that gave him understanding, and it's the same for us. He modeled it, and he wants us to be better listeners. John 10, you could read various things about it in John 10 and verses and chapters around there, but John 10, 27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Jesus, the good shepherd, we learn to follow his voice. I love what Billy Graham was credited with saying. He said, prayer is simply a two-way conversation between you and God. I like the word dialogue even better. Prayer was never meant to be a dominant monologue like the young boy Samuel I just read about in Samuel, the book of Samuel in the Old Testament. We need to pray, speak, Lord, paraphrasing, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. And then be silent, be quiet. That is a relevant prayer posture that we don't practice enough. Another breath prayer that we ought to utilize regularly is something like that. Out of that, speak to me, Lord, I'm listening. How many of you believe that God would lean in close to that kind of prayer? Speak to me, Lord, I'm listening. God will hear. I can't tell you how he'll answer you, and some of you want me to, but I can tell that when you get the living word in you and you keep getting it in you, he'll direct, comfort, convict, and convince, and other C words that I couldn't think of, and he'll speak through circumstances like open and closed doors, and he'll speak through people, through songs he inspires them to write and sing, and messages and exhortations, all those things are good. He might receive a special word or an impression. God sometimes whispers silently. It's like he just moves his mouth and you can't hear it, but I've determined that silence is probably a sound. Agreed? It's just like black and white are still colors. It's just like numb is still an emotion. Got it? Silence is still a sound. And you know, in an intimate relationship where you can communicate and words don't even need to be spoken. Oh, here's one of my favorites. These are all practical, but this is such a good one. Thank God. This is the full-time assignment for every follower. You know when we're done thanking him? Never. Gratefulness is so attractive and powerful. Give thanks, we sing with a grateful heart. Remember, that's one of the first worship songs I ever led that never had an ending, and I didn't know how to get off that train. I just kept singing it and singing it and singing it and singing it. Oh, it's hilarious looking back. I love that Maverick City tune. I think it is, I thank God. This flows from the idea that our lives are pointing to and praising him. One of my favorites. Praise God. That's about who he is, and praise him. And that naturally flows in into thanking God for what he's done. Attractive, yes. Contagious, yes. Powerful, yes. Thankful prayers. Remember, as I wrap it up, and then I want to do a quick exercise before we go. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul in prison, waiting to be executed by beheading, he wrote these words. Here is the promise. When we pray, when we tell him what we need and we thank him, when we listen, then we will experience God's supernatural peace, which amazes us and others who are watching our lives. In the middle of the storm, sometimes in the storm, he just keeps us afloat. All storms don't go away immediately. And that peace may not be able to be explained, but it can never be dismissed because it's real. And I want to tell you, peace is attractive as well. The true peace that we're reading about in this passage is not the absence of problems. It's found in the presence of God. That's what a testimony that is. What a friend we have in Jesus. Let me read the verses one more time. Philippians 4:6, and then add 7. Don't worry about anything instead. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Some of you are behind on your thanks. Then, verse 7, then you will, not might, you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus, as you follow him. So the best time to pray is always when? When? Now. Now. So let's do it. Here's what I want us to do before we leave. All right? Does everybody have one of these? Please, there's more here. Grab one quickly. I'd like everybody to participate. Everybody participate. Just grab one. There's some on the back table there. Ushers, if anybody raises a hand, just grab some and see if they're there. I want everybody to participate if you could. It's very simple. This isn't going to embarrass you. I'm not setting you up for failure or for anything else. Here's what I want us to do on this card. I want you to possibly put your first name or your initials, and that's it. One per family. Everybody should have one, not just one per family. Help us out, ushers, if you can. But here's what I want you to do. On this, we put very limited space. I simply want you to write, like I think of my friend, I'd say, I'm praying for a new heart for my friend. That would be one thing on the card. Or I would put salvation of all my grandkids. Okay, whatever. It could be something job related, but I want you to do that right now. Just a word or phrase. Don't overthink it. Jot something down that's pressing a need, something on your heart right now. Everybody do that. It could be one word or a simple phrase, two or three words at best. Just, you don't have to list somebody else's name particularly. Everybody, would everybody participate? We all have things that we need to tell the Lord about. All right. I know I had time to think about this. It's for the moment. Don't overthink it. Just jot down the first thing that comes to your mind and heart. It could be more than one thing, but don't write a chronicle on there. Just something short. All right. Have you done it? All right. I want everybody to stand if you can, when you can, where you can. I'm sorry I didn't know how to translate this at home for sure. Although you could do this. If you have a little card, you could write something down. And if there's more than one of you, you could do what we're going to do. But here's what I want us to do. I want you to take the card, and as we just sing and in the service, I want you to hand it to somebody, not in your family, in your immediate family. It could be a friend or whatever, but I want you to give it to them. And when you give it to them, I want them to give them exchange cards. Got that? So I would, but Nate's in my family, so I can't do it with him. Okay? Oh, I didn't even participate. Isn't that real nice? I ask you to do something, I don't even do it. Could somebody bring me a pen real quick? Thank you. All right, here's the thing. Here's the thing I want us to do then as we conclude. As you exchange cards, it doesn't matter who, where, it doesn't matter if you know anybody, whatever. I want you to say by taking the card, I will pray for this need every day until next Sunday, okay? So whatever that need is in our heart, we're going to pray now. We're going to pray on a daily basis from now until next Sunday. Is that too hard? All right, let me write mine down. Nate, would you begin to sing, and let's do that, and this will be our final song, and then Pastor Joel will close.